Hey, welcome back everybody to Bad Film Good, the podcast where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question, is this bad film good? That was like, there wasn't a particular tune to that. It just kind of started sounding funky, so I went with it. My name is Declan.
And I'm, Wes Anderson. No, the other one. I'm Paul W.S. Anderson.
Are you Paul? You're Paul W.S.
I'm Paul Wes Anderson.
For Aiden Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. Aidenson.
Yeah. Aidenson. That's good.
There we go.
Today, we will be doing, I would say an unheard of, but we have accidentally done it before. The first unheard of intentional episode of doing two films in one episode. That is right, baby. We are doing Resident Evil. That's just it. It's there's no semicolon, right?
Or colon, no, that's whatever.
It's just Resident Evil and Resident Evil Apocalypse.
In the poster for Resident Evil Apocalypse, it does say Resident Evil 2 Apocalypse, but then none of the other films are numbered.
Yeah, and it didn't have a 2 on.
Yeah, the title doesn't have it.
Wait, did it have a 2 on the actual picture on Amazon? Or just when you looked it up? Because I didn't see
when
it on
I looked
Amazon.
It up.
Huh. I don't think I had that on Amazon. So, anyway. As we all know, that is the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because billionaires. I don't know. Anyway, Aiden, why don't you tell us before we get into the Resident Eviling today? Why don't you tell us what is Shrekking this week?
Yeah. Well, this is just a quick one because obviously we'll see how this goes doing.
Quick little Shrekies.
Two films at once. So, but anyway, this is an article from Daily Echo, and it says, "Meet the Shrek tribute band that only plays songs from the films." They're the UK's premier Shrek tribute band, and they're unleashing themselves on audiences in Hampshire tonight.
That this sounds like they're exposing themselves to audiences.
They're getting their cocks out tonight.
They're unleashing their cocks tonight.
This was from the 16th of June, so I'm expecting a follow-up article that says, "Meet the Shrek tribute band that exposed themselves and got arrested."
Yeah. We've gone to Shrek jail.
I mean, look. There is an article here. There's some pictures. There's about, how many are there? There's 8 of them. There's keyboard player, bass, guitar.
Are they all dressed as Shrek?
There's trumpets. No. So you've got the three wind. So you've got a trumpet player, a trombone, and
the three wind instruments.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks. they're the three blind mice. The lead guitarist slash singer, no, I think he's just the guitarist. The lead guitarist is Shrek. The lead singer is Fiona. You've got percussion and drummer as, what's that? Oh, that's the wolf, I think. He's just wearing a nightie.
Oh, interesting choice.
It's a bit shit. Like, out of all of the...
Yeah, he was like, they were like, did you sort your outfit out? And he's like, what do you mean, what outfit? And they're like, with a fucking Shrek band, what are you talking about? This is our thing, we have outfits. I'm literally dressed as Shrek right now. And he's like, oh, well, I bought my pajamas with me, so I guess I'll just be the wolf or something. I'm on drums, nobody's going to see me.
It's really shit. As I've gone through the list, unintentionally, they get progressively worse. There's the keyboard player who's like, I think he's Gingy, but he's literally just wearing chinos and a red t-shirt with like gumdrop buttons on it. That's it.
Wow.
Oh, and he's holding a candy cane, but I mean, that's not part of it. And then the worst one is the bass player who's literally just wearing jeans and a t-shirt and something on his head, but the picture's so shit I can't even tell what it's meant to be.
Is he supposed to be Donkey?
Oh! Yes, It's Donkey.
I was going to say, how could you have a Shrek thing without Donkey? Every time you were mentioning someone else, I was like, huh, the big bad wolf? What the fuck? Where's Donkey?
Yeah, but
literally half the film.
Yeah, but this is how shit. I wonder if I could send you this picture. No, I don't think I can. But like,
send me the link or something.
Oh, I can. I'm going to do it now. But yeah, like, it's so shit. Like, it's such a low res image, and the ears are just like so shit. And he's literally just wearing a white t-shirt and grey trousers. Like, what the fuck is that?
Oh my god, it is literally like the lowest.
It's the lowest form of effort. Like, yeah. I think I could be forgiven for not noticing that dress was Donkey.
Yeah. Because it kind of blends into the background there.
Yeah.
It literally looks like somebody's like, guys, for my birthday, we're doing a Shrek-themed birthday party. And they're like, oh. You get the three guys who are like, oh, we're going to be the blind mice, pretty easy get up, but we're going to look pretty suave with it. It's going to be good. And then, like, all these different ones where they you know, get progressively whatever. The guy just comes in his pajamas. And then the guy who's like, I bought like a headband. That's all you're getting. I'm not doing anything else for this. You didn't do anything on my birthday, so fuck you.
It's always the bass players. Small ups.
Yeah, goddamn bass players.
Fucking bass players. look, there's a whole article here, but I mean, the whole article is there's a band and they play songs from Shrek.
And you want to know what Shrek is? Shrek is a movie.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I mean, there are some quotes here, if you're interested.
Yeah.
I thought...
I said yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm interested in the quotes.
yeah.
I was acknowledging
Andrew from the band said, I've been in various bands over the years, and it started to become obvious to me that a huge number of the most popular party tracks were from the Shrek soundtrack. I thought back to my childhood and spoke to other people of similar ages and older and younger. So just
people. I talked to various people, some short, some tall, some sort of average height, some close to me, some not.
Shrek definitely has a universal appeal, I think. And I had the greatest idea for a new band. Let me guess. Was it a Shrek band? Yes, it was. There's more quotes, I can't be asked. But yeah, that's what's Shrekking in the news this week. Quick Damn. One, because we got a lot to get through.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so if we're, if we're putting Shrekking to one side, as we said, this week we shall be looking at Resident Evils 1 and 2, the Paul W.S. Anderson, not
Wes
Paul
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, not Wes Anderson's versions. Those ones are different. Yeah, we're going to be looking at those, but we've sort of done it where Aiden's watched one, I've watched the other.
Yeah.
And I just realized as I was talking, I got the synopsis for the second film, not the first one.
I don't know
whether you got the synopsis for the first one.
I thought that would happen. So
okay, cool. You relied on my forgetfulness.
And I also rely on you to tell me what the budget of the second one is and what it's rated.
Oh, no, it's been fired. Oh, it's fine, because while you're talking about it, I'll find it.
Okay, so the first one I watched on Amazon Prime and had to pay money
Resident
for it, and I'm pretty mad
Evil
about it.
Resident Evil 2 budget. Yeah, keep talking.
Okay. It says Amazon described it as...
So it's just come up with the video game, because it said 1 million. I was like, huh? No way it cost 1 million, but that's for the video game.
That's a lot for... Oh, no, it's not. Ignore me.
No.
Well, because I forget that you have to, like, I know that they don't pay, but you are meant to pay your employees a fair, decent wage.
Yeah. Also, it was PlayStation 1. So,
that's a lot of money in those days.
Yeah, but it might have been, by 9 full time and 1 part time personnel. Oh, no, that was just ported to the console. I guess because it originally came out on like older consoles than PlayStation 2. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. A special military unit fight a powerful, out of control supercomputer and hundreds of scientists who have mutated into flesh-eating creatures after a laboratory accident.
Or was it?
Oh. They didn't say that. I said that.
You know what, babe? You know what, babe? I'm like Resident Evil, but with Jared Leto's Joker in it. What have we done? We've unleashed it.
You know what, beef, Mila Jovovich? You know what, beef?
You know what, beef?
So, it was directed by Paul W. Anderson. It stars Mila Jovovich. Mila Jovovich?
I always fuck up her name.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes!
Which I forgot about.
I don't know if we've covered this.
We must have covered.
We must have, because we had at least Fast X, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we must have covered Aiden's...
If you don't know, I hate Michelle Rodriguez.
His hatred for Mel.
We'll get into why. Yeah, because I hate women.
Melly Rodge.
That's, no. Yeah, it stars Ryan McCluskey, Oscar Pierce, Indra Ovi, Anna Bolt, Joseph May, Robert Tanyan, Heike Mateschmitz. Heike Makatsch, and James Butler.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, good one. Good one at the end. It's had a budget of $33 million, which actually isn't that bad, and it made $102 million.
See why they were like, all right, let's get that sequel.
Let's make six more. It's got 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 35% on Rotten Tomatoes, and only 35 Metacritic liked it. Oh, it was made in 2002. But yeah, just for context, in COVID time, we remotely watched all of these together because we had nothing else to do.
And it was kind of the part of the genesis of this. This show.
It was the birth. The neon that Genesis and the third eye. Evangelion. Of this show, and so. You have seen this. I don't know how much you remember it. So I've kind of just
bits
done my
and pieces.
Notes. I've done my notes of generally how it goes.
I feel like you'll say stuff and I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know? So it starts off, it seems... Oh,
before we... Hang on. Do we want to do just a quick double, like, I'll give a lowdown of the second one?
We could do the first one first and then we'll do the second one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We'll just do it your way. I don't even care. It doesn't even matter to me. It's whatever, man. Yeah. Go on.
So.
I don't even care. It just didn't matter.
Damn it! It's got. No, we did that already. So.
I'm throwing him off now.
You've broken me. So it starts off like we're in a facility, science is happening, and then it seems like,
as it does,
that there's this little vial of something which we find out later is the T virus, and someone picks it up and then throws it into a room, then they run out the room, and it goes up the vents, and like,
because it becomes airborne,
and you're like, oh, okay. What was that about? And then, you know, you just see the normal scientists going about their day. There's a guy who gets coffee knocked onto him, and he's like, hey, man!
I'm walking here!
They get into a lift.
There's coffee on my my shirt. I was going to say, I was getting that mixed up with Quit Busting My Balls. And I was kind of like, you're gonna
there's coffee
on my
on
balls.
My balls. you know, the famous saying. Yeah. And then because the T-virus has gone viral, everyone goes fucking mental.
On TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, it's gone viral on TikTok. Everyone's like,
T-Virus is now TikTok famous.
New trend, I mean, T-Virus.
I was going to say, the real T-Virus is a goddamn TikTok virus, you know what I'm saying? It's rotting the brains.
Bloody youths.
Bloody youths.
Yeah, and then boom. Mila Jovovich.
Chernobyl.
Mila Chernobyl. She opens her eyes, and you're like, ah, it was all a dream. Or was it?
As Biggie once said.
Yeah, so she can't remember anything. Do you remember this about the first one? That she's like, for most of the film, she's like, I can't remember. And then at one point she's just like, oh no, I remember.
Yeah, she kind of spends like some of this film doing that as well when we get to the next one.
Oh, really? But, oh, nice.
Yeah, they do a bit of that.
Because what I remember from the Resident Evil franchise is as they progress through the films, they give Mila Jovovich like magical powers, and then they change their minds about it, and then it swaps. It keeps flipping.
This is, oh fuck me. So I remember when we watched this and I got so mad. This is something that we'll talk about more as we go into the further films. It may just end up be me like redoing rants that you've heard from the other episodes, but it plays a part into the second film as well, and we'll get to it.
Yeah,
but yeah, they just decide like it's one thing to have, because Resident Evil does have that kind of, you can have an element of disbelief where you're like, okay, they're genetically mutating people with viruses and stuff, and maybe they could get the virus to work in the way they wanted it and enhance somebody in physical ways and heighten their smell and all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, that's within the boundaries of what I would, in this world, that I could be like, cool, that's kind of grounded enough in you know, mystical science. But they start, the end of the second one, they start doing the whole thing where they're like, nah, she just has, like, powers now. Like, what? And then we'll get to the, like, when we do the next couple of films, I think literally within those couple of films, they'll be like, nah, shit, powers are gone now.
Yeah.
And then the next one, they'll be like, well, the powers didn't actually go. You thought they did, but he just made you think they did and they actually didn't. And it's like, huh? It's so, they literally retcon at the end of each, which is so weird because they're all by the same. I mean, because the second one wasn't directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, but it was written by him and produced by him and a couple other people. And it was generally like his kind of series, right, of films.
Yeah, I think there's a quote from him somewhere where he's like, he didn't want to walk away from the franchise because he was worried about what they would do to it.
Sort of. What, that they would ruin it?
They would make it better, I guess.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he was like a bit controlling about it. Like,
yeah, I mean, he cast his wife as the main character. So,
yes, he did.
You know.
But yeah, like, so, but what I didn't remember about watching this is she has fucking magic powers in this one, which I'll get into, but it's wild. And I feel like,
I don't remember.
I'll get to it, but I feel like they introduced her magic mystic powers because they realize they made a stupid movie mistake in the first one. But anyway, okay. So she can't remember anything. She's looking around. She's in a house. And then she's like, oh, I've got some sweet ass guns and I've got some scars because I'm a badass. What's going on here? And then, and then boom, some like special agents like crash through the window. They've got, you know, the SWAT gear on there, and she's like, who are you people? There's also a police officer there, who just turns up right before they all burst in. Oh, and also, Nick, I think they call him, I'm not very versed in Resident Evil games, so I don't know if any of them are actually.
Oh, I can terrible. I can goddamn tell you. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you when shit's happening.
Nick is like another agent for the Umbrella Corp, as is Mila Jovanovich. And they've got like some weird relationship. But spoilers at the end, it turns out he's evil. But he also forgot that he was evil. It's so good. I'll get to it. He's there. They're all there.
Just a bit of context, I think, in terms of the original games.
Yes.
So from what I remember, the first film doesn't have... unless it has like a cameo or something of someone... Like the locations are sort of borrowed from the games, yes, to a degree.
The Hive is underneath Raccoon City.
Yes.
But that's about it.
So you've got that. But I don't think you have any characters from the original
stuff. I remember that.
I think
that
it's from the second one onwards.
Yeah, I remember that being a thing.
And I remember you being angry about
yeah. They're in this house, and then Michelle Rodriguez turned up, and I was like, "Ah, fucking goddamn it!" And it's revealed that they're actually still in a facility, and the reason they can't remember anything is because it's a defense mechanism from the Umbrella Corp. For some reason, it's very vague as to why that would be a defense mechanism. But you know, we move. Because then they open up her mirror, and she's like, they're like, you don't remember, your mirror's a gateway to an underground trade station? And she's like, nah, forgot that. And he's like, all right, well, let's go. And they're underground, they go on a train, Nick doesn't turn up there, which is her husband / the evil guy, right?
Right.
The policeman's there. And then they get on the train. The train starts moving. I think Michelle Rodriguez is like, buddy, get that door open, you prick, to, you know, one of the military people. They open the door, and then Nick, who is her husband, falls through the door and he's unconscious. And I was like, was he there the whole fucking time? Yeah. On the train? Like, what? What was that all about? It's so good.
I wonder if they do it much in the first one. Something that, again, I'll sort of talk about specific examples in a bit. But they tend to do this thing where, normally in movies, you have the dramatic irony that the audience knows what's happening elsewhere in another place at the same time as the scene that you're currently in. But the characters don't know that. So, you know... they would normally naturally do whatever they're doing in that moment without that knowledge. However, in these films, for some reason, there are so many occasions where characters also have the dramatic irony to know exactly what's happening somewhere else at that point. And I don't know whether you get a lot of that in this, because I think it's a bit more of a linear contained deal than the second one's a bit everywhere.
Yeah, you get some weird, wild shit in this. It's like what they keep doing in this one is they do the thing where someone will like they're like being chased with by a zombie or an infected or whatever. They like run through a door and then shut it behind them. They go like, and then they go, oh, because someone's in that room that they've just gone into. But they keep doing it. There's a point where Mila Jojo's being chased by a zombie.
Yeah.
She runs into a room, closes the door, then she's like, ah, oh, but then she realized there's a demon hound in the fucking room with her. She gets chased by the demon hound, runs through another door, goes, oh, and then
And she turns around and there's like four other demon hounds in the fucking room with her. And she's like, oh! And then it just does it again. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me, man? It's like the, it's like Paul Wes Anderson was like, oh, you know what's really scary when they turn around and there's something there. And then he forgot that he did it in the scene previously.
And his wife was like, yeah, he does. Don't say anything to him. Just
he's got,
because he'll be.
He's got something about memory. Like my character forgets things. He literally forgets things.
Yeah.
So they go. They go on the train, and they arrive at the Hive, which I don't can't remember. Is that a thing from the games, or is that just a thing?
I can't remember if they call it the Hive. I think that they do, but it's every single this is the thing. If you're ever playing a Resident Evil game, almost every single one of them, I can't off the top of my head think of an example of one that's different, or different enough. Every single one of them, you have a kind of like the story as it progresses, you'll move into different areas and all this kind of stuff, but you always end up in the end, kind of the final act, the last kind of section of the game is always in a lab or some sort of like thing where you kind of learn the secrets of what's been happening or whatever. It's any of the games that you play, you'll always end up in a lab at the end of the game. And you've got to go through and make an antidote, or you've got to find the antidote, or you've got to escape with the antidote or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's always like that. You know what? It's fucking good. It's good shit. Every time. Every goddamn time.
Is it the type of thing where it's like, you were in the facility the whole time? Because that's kind of how this ends.
I think. No, it's normally that the facility is hidden underground, or it's hidden in a... It depends where they are. Like, Resident Evil Revelations, which is really good.
Yeah.
You're on a giant fucking cruise liner, big cruise ship, and there's a big secret lab hidden, like, right in the bowels of the ship, like, right in the big bottom bowels, whatever.
Isn't that one of the films?
You get shit like that, you know what I mean?
Doesn't that happen in one of the films? I can't remember. I seem to remember there being a big boat.
There is something to do with a big boat, but it's not based off of Revelations. I think Revelations came out maybe a bit later than most of these films, but even then...
The game's based on the films!
Oh my god. No, but even then, like, just that game alone is higher quality than the entirety of this franchise.
Okay, yeah. So they're
in the Hive.
They're in the Hive. They're like, it's top secret. No one even bloody knows about it. And I was like, well, but surely people would have noticed it being built. Like, they show like a map of the thing.
No, it's underground.
It's fucking
Aiden.
Huge. It's so big.
It is, isn't
under
it?
A city. It's like it's the size of a city under a city.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, no one has noticed. How? No one works there lets slip that they like, oh, I work underground. In a secret lair. I mean, oh, fuck.
The Hive. I'm a beekeeper.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all avoided. Yeah, I mean, it's underground, Aiden. That's what you got to understand. It's underground, okay?
Okay, yeah. It's underground, it's secret. That no one knows about it. Don't worry about it. But they're going in. The people are going in because it's revealed that the AI called it's like a little girl, and it's really annoying. But it's called the Red Queen, and they've gone in because it's gone mental. And that's why everyone died. Or so they think. But we know that someone set off the T-Virus. But they think that the Red Queen did it. Because... Which is kind of true, because...
The dinner bell! The dinner bell! Aiden, why don't you tell us what you are having for dinner today?
cheeky Nando's, isn't it?
Oh, he's getting out cheeky Nando's, mate.
Anyway. But yeah, anyway. It's the AI is going mental. And they have to shut it down. That's their whole thing. But they think it's because it just went mental. But actually, it's just doing its, like, protection thing because the D-virus has been released. But regardless, their whole thing is they're going to shut it down. So they've got some server thing, and they have to plug it into another thing. It's that 2002 bullshit. I've got to hack into the mainframe. And they're just, like, plugging... There's like a big core in a room, and they have to attach like these three giant metal panels. And I was like, to shut down an AI, just use your laptop, bro. Like,
yeah.
So they're going to shut it down, but because the AI is an AI and it's like, don't shut me down, they go in to the laser corridor.
Yeah.
You remember the laser corridor?
Oh, dude. You've got to have a good laser corridor.
Yeah, it's fucking gold. They're like, they're going in. Some guy gets his hand like cut in half, but diagonally. And you're like, ooh, that's good. I mean, it looks bad, but you're like, ooh, that's good. And then it's like picking them off one by one. And they're doing the thing. It's like, quick, shut it down. I'm trying. And then the general guy, who's like a, you know, typical, get moving, people. He dodges the first one, then dodges the second. And then he's like, sees this beam coming towards him. And he's like gearing up to dodge it. But then at the last second, it turns into a just like grid. And he's like, oh, and then it just, like, before he can finish his swear word, it chops him into tiny little pieces.
Dices him.
Yeah. And Milo Djordjevic is, like, really upset. And I was like, but you've just met these people. Like, you can't remember anything, so why are you that upset? I don't know, it's really weird. There's a few times in this, because later on, Michelle Rodriguez has been bitten, and she's like turning into an infected zombie, whatever. And the Red Queen is like, I'll let you out, but Michelle Rodriguez is infected, so you have to kill her, and then I'll let you out. And Mila Djordjevic is like, no, there has to be another way. And I was like, bro, like, what? Just kill her. Like, I know I hate Michelle Rodriguez, but seriously, like, it's just so weird. Like, she has this weird caring for people. I don't know. There's me being like a fucking...
It's because they're like, she's too much of the stereotypical kind of early 2000s. This woman is a badass, so it means that she's stone cold. Super killer kind of thing. So they have to then force some sort of like, oh, but she cares about this person and is upset because they died. And you're like, yeah, but you didn't give that any depth though, did you? You were just like, oh no, they're dead.
Exactly. It's so like, it's just so weird. Michelle Rodriguez is a normal self. I hate Michelle Rodriguez. to put it blunt, like to summarize, I hate her because she always plays the same character who is just a massive grumpy cunt. Like, it's all the time. She just frowns her way through a film.
She does have like a very particular, It's kind of a mix between like a scowl and a resting bitch face kind of. It's like a cross between the two.
And the pouty lips as well. She has pouty lips. Yeah. And it's not like, I'm not saying that's just how she looks,
that's her face she puts on as the character, right?
Yeah, without fail.
Yeah, and it's just relentless, and it's always the same. She's like the badass, like, female character that's not usually the lead. She's always a side military character, and then she's always got her, like, goofy friend who's like, come on, lighten up, dude. And she's like, get your shit together. We gotta get through this. And I'm like, fuck off.
But yeah, so the worst, but this summary, this was the most Michelle Rodriguez thing in a film that I've ever seen, because their whole thing is like, they're going in to shut down the AI because it's going mental.
Yeah.
The tech guy, like, they've sorted out the laser room. Mila and the tech guy go into the room and like shut down the AI. But because they shut down the AI, all of the defense like mechanisms and stuff like switch off, which basically releases a bunch of zombies into the facility where they were like locked off before. So the tech guy is like, oh no, the Red Queen let out all the zombies. And Michelle is like, no, you let out all the zombies. And I was like, he was doing your mission. You're part of the same team. That's what you were doing here. Like, that's why you're here. I was fucking fuming.
She's like, why did you do that?
Yeah, I was like, fuck,
we just fought to get here.
Yeah.
What do you think was gonna happen?
So we get the twist where Mila Jojovic is like, she remembers. Yeah, Jojo Siwa.
It just sounds like the Wild Thorn Breeze.
And Michelle Rodriguez is like, oh gosh.
Why is she Tim Curry?
Because Tim Curry, Wild Thorn Breeze.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, right.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of Michelle Rodriguez in this movie saying that. I was like, why? I didn't make the connection. Yeah.
I'll run through it quick. She remembers. She's like, oh, I was the inside. The policeman's there because he's like, I'm trying to investigate Umbrella Corp because they're evil. And he's like, I was talking to an insider, but I don't know who she was. And she's like, I remember, it was me. And then, at the same time that happens, she has fucking ghost vision. This is the start of the weird bullshit thing. Because it's like, and I think, this is why I think it's a film mistake. Because it's like, the way they film it and present it, they do it the same way as when she remembers that she's the agent or whatever, that it's all like white tinted and you know, they film it in a certain way, and it's like smash cuts and they've put Vaseline on the lens, and it's all blurry and weird and white.
Right. Yeah,
and they
memory
do
shit.
Yeah, memory shit, and they do the same thing but it's like it's so weird. So they then show it like what happened at the start, but from the guy who's her husband, but who's really the evil one. I think his name's Spence. Maybe. I can't remember.
Right.
But let's call him Spence. So they show Spence's perspective from the start. So it's like, he's gone into the facility. He's the one that smashes the vial. He's the one that spills coffee on that guy's shirt.
Balls.
Yeah, on that guy's balls. And then, like, so it was him. And he remembers that. But it's like that she remembers that as well.
but she wasn't there. So then it's right. just like...
So it's just a... yeah.
So she has the epiphany that she's like, oh, it's him that's the bad guy. But it's like, okay, so she has like weird fucking ghost vision or some shit. Like...
That she could just see other people's
memories.
She just
sees other people's memories. It's so fucking yeah. weird. And then she does it again later in the film because she sees it again. She sees Spencer's memory from his perspective again. And she remembers that there's an antidote. And she's like, oh, right. I remember there's an antidote. And I was like,
that's such lazy writing.
I was like, what the fuck is that, man? Like, yeah. That's just so shit. But yeah, so because Spence remembers he's evil, he's like, I guess I'll be evil then. And then just like shuts them in a room and ditches them. And he's about to escape. But then, I'm sure you remember this, that the liquor breaks out. Do you remember the liquor from the first one?
I didn't remember that they were in the first one.
Yeah. And it's terrible. It looks so bad. but so the liquor comes and he's like, oh, bloody hell.
As a bloody liquor, mate.
As a bloody liquor. So Spence gets killed by the liquor and then they catch up to Spence. They escape somehow. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. They get on the train. They find Spence's body. They're like, lol. What's that about? Doesn't matter. Oh, well. I'm sure it's nothing. And they get on the train with the antidote. And Michelle Rodriguez has been bitten. But then they inject her with the antidote. Which is so weird. I think I missed something. So Michelle Rodriguez has been bitten. She's like ill for half the film. That's why I was like, why wouldn't you just leave her?
Right.
But they take her with them. They're on the train. She injects Michelle Rodriguez with the antidote. And you think that she dies. But then she, like, jumps. And she's like, give me my gun. And you're like, oh, no, she's infected. And then she's, like, acting all normal.
Oh, I thought you were saying Michelle Rodriguez just jumped up and was like, give me my gun. I'm all good now.
Basically.
Yeah.
So then she's all good. The liquor comes. They're on the train. They're fighting the liquor. Then either she gets bit again and then turns into a zombie, or the antidote didn't work. But either way, because I
feel like maybe the antidote didn't work. I can't remember.
I don't think these films are even bad enough for them
to be like, she got bit again.
yeah.
She's just really bad at staying alive. She's just got bit again. That's it. So antidote only works once.
So yeah, Michelle Rodriguez. She's a zombie. They're fighting the liquor. It's Mila Jojo Siwa and the police guy. They're on the train. He's fighting Michelle Rodriguez. She's fighting the liquor. There's like some pipes on the train for some reason. Literally just so the police guy could be like, I'll save you, main character. Because you're a female lead, so you have to be saved.
And he whacks it
with the pipe, and she's like, open the door! He shoots Michelle Rodriguez. Michelle Rodriguez falls back onto a button, and then the bottom of the train, like, opens out for some reason. And I was like, okay, what the fuck? I guess that just happens.
I think some of them have, like, it depends what kind of train.
Nah, I don't know. It was just like...
They were like, this train as a whole.
yeah, it literally was. So they kill the liquor, and they get away, they're back into the mansion at the start, and then it ends by he's got a scratch from the liquor, and he's, like, mutating. Some guys in fucking PPE suits are like... I like take him away and someone says, I want him in the Nemesis program. And then, and they're taking her away, and she then faints again. Like, I guess, I don't know. She's literally fighting these guys in suits, trying to get to the policeman. And then she just faints and does some weird ghost memory bullshit. And then it ends. And then someone else says, we're reopening the hive. And I was like, what? And then it ends. And yeah. I was like, well, I can't really remember what happens. that's oh, it. Man. I'd say, I don't think I could give a fair... I'll say bad film good, but I can't... I don't think it's fair. I have such a nostalgia for watching these with you.
See, that's the thing. I feel like all of these films are probably spoilers for the future episodes as well. I feel like all these episodes are probably going to be bad film good. Maybe there'll be like, I don't remember down the line. Maybe one of them will be like, oh no, I didn't like that one. But I think generally just because we love like, we love how bad these movies are. It's like that kind of bad where you're just like,
yeah, they're good. Yeah,
it's bad good. Yeah. It is bad film good. So, yeah, I mean, that's quite smoothly transitions into the next film.
Yeah, tell me all about it.
Smoothly.
I don't really remember.
Oh, well, before we get to the details of the film, Resident Evil Apocalypse, not Resident Evil 2 Apocalypse, it's released in... I didn't actually get that one. It's 2007? No, 2007 was the one afterwards. I think it was 2004. Yeah. So it came out in 2004. So these games came out, like, not too long after the games came out, like a few years. Because if it was 2002, the first one came out. The first game was, like, 96, 97, I think. And then second one, I think, was 98. So... yeah, it wasn't too long before these all kind of came out. I just kind of assumed that it was further away than that. But yeah, so this one, it has a Rotten Tomatoes rating. The critics have given it a 19%. But the audience score is 60%, and I think it leans into that whole, like, you know, people enjoy it because it's so bad. Like, it's kind of got a...
yeah.
It's got that vibe to it. But it had a budget of $45 million, so it was a little bit more, and it earned $123 million.
Oh my god, so it's like, it's at the same rate. You spend more, you make more, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe this is weird, though.
I know. It is weird, though, because it says on here, it received generally unfavorable reviews. Like, generally people were like, no, but it still made like more money on that higher budget. But
I'd be interested to see what the fall off is like from the next one.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have to keep it in mind for the next one as well. So it features Mila Jovovich, Sienna Guillory, Oded Fehr, Jared Harris. Thing is, there's a lot of like kind of side characters. You've got like Sandrine Holt, Matthew G. Taylor, Steve Buscemi, Ian Glenn.
Oh yeah,
and I don't know who else is really important to mention, because you get people who kind of pop up, and they're kind of just like peripheral characters that are there just to be like, whoa, I'm a bit crazy and kooky and weird. Hey, look at me. Woo. And you're like, why are you here? You're not adding anything to the story. But yeah, we'll get to a bit of that. If I pull it up on here, because we watched both of these on Amazon Prime, this one described the film as being a sequel to the $100 million hit Resident Evil Apocalypse is again based on the wildly popular video game series, is it though? and picks up where the first film ended. The zombies are back, and so is Alice, in brackets, Jovovich. I mean, the zombies didn't leave, though, so...
No, they were there anyway, the whole time.
They were there the whole time. Since being captured by the notorious Umbrella Corporation, she's been subjected to biogenetic experimentation and has become genetically altered with superhuman strengths, senses, and dex... And even on the extended version, it just cuts off because it was too much for the extended version of it. So that's all I've got for that.
What? She...
I don't... It's weird. So this
is the thing. I remember that.
Yeah, so this is the thing, right? I can't remember. Something happens in the beginning that causes... I don't know if it's her escaping, because I think she... Okay, so the way that they start each of the films from here on out is the character of Alice saying, "My name is Alice, and I was sent in to infiltrate the Umbrella Corporation, and the Umbrella Corporation are evil, and they made zombies, and now I've had to fight the zombies, and also I've got some magical powers." And she's, like, doing a kind of little intro thing, and she kind of gives, like, a quick... Here's what you missed for the previous movie. So she was like, I managed to escape with one other person, but he got infected and they took him away and I haven't seen my friend ever since. And it's weird because that intro that she does, it's like you see her make that intro later in the film when someone hands her a camera and they're like, "Oh, you need to document all the information, you know." And she starts doing the opening like thing to and saying that to the camera, like just in the middle of the scene. Like she's then doing the like, "My name is Alice," and blah blah blah. And you're like, "Okay, so that's what that is." But I don't remember if they give a reason for it with the other ones. I think they just carry on with it. But something happens initially. I don't know whether there's like a break. There's like a breakout of some sort. I can't remember. Well, but you have. It might just be carrying on straight from the. Some time has passed. This is the thing, because it starts with this like fucking poor, fucking badly done thing where you've got a bunch of like agents in vans. Going up to like a couple of different houses, and it does like one, then it'll do the other. And it's like they go up to the door and they knock on the door, and somebody opens the door and they're like, "Sir, there has been an incident. We need you to come with us right now." And then they go to somebody else's house and they knock on his door, and then he opens it up and they're like, "Sir, there's been an incident." And I was like, "We get it, guys. You don't need to show it twice. There's been an incident, man." So one of the guys is the scientist. It's Jared Harris is the name of the actor. He plays Dr. Ashford. And while watching this, I'm kind of trying to be like, "Oh, is that supposed to be a character from this or not?" Because this film leans more heavily into characters from the games.
But I remember
Sort of a. It's kind of a replacement for. In Resident Evil 2, which isn't even about Jill at all, or any of that stuff, that's all Resident Evil 3, and Nemesis and everything like that. They kind of just skipped over 2 and just went straight to 3 with the vague storyline. But in 2, they do have, they do kind of rescue a little girl who is the daughter of the guy that started the whole, like, set the virus loose, the guy, but again in the games it's different because he's the one who actually created it in the first place,
yeah,
and all this kind of stuff. But you kind of have an underlying like kind of motivation for all the characters where they're being told by this guy, he like contacts them all and says, "I know a way out of the city, but you have to find my daughter for me." Because in the beginning, when the guys were like, "There's been an incident," he's like, "All right, well, my daughter's just gone to school, so I need to go and get her." And they're like, "There's no time, get in the helicopter."
Yeah.
He's like, "Nah, but my daughter, though." And they're like, "Nah, fuck that. Fuck that daughter. Nah, you'll come with us.
Fuck her.
Nah, who cares?" So he wants to, like, save her, and that kind of comes to play, like, in a bit. But we're first introduced to, after that kind of, like, initial stuff, we're introduced to this film's version of Jill Valentine. Now, I'm going to preface this whole thing I like to imagine that this film series is just like an, which essentially it is, but it's intentionally just being a complete parallel universe where everything's just kind of a bit different. Because I like the idea, if they'd done it in a different way, I could have liked the idea that the franchise is almost a, it's like asking, it's kind of like the notion behind God of War. So it's like, okay, Mila Jovovich's character Alice, these films are the Resident Evil storyline, but if Alice was like, you just inject her into the beginning of it, and then how everything gets offset and everything ends up differently and plays out differently because she's a different factor in that story that affects things in a different way and all this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So like with God of War, you know, it's kind of like, well, what if you had all the Greek mythology stuff, but you then throw this guy in the mix who fucks everything up and then messes everything up in the Norse one as well in, you know, different ways, all this kind of stuff. So you kind of have, you almost feel that idea, but I just really don't like the way that they've, you know, I could be on board with it of being like, oh, this is just like an alternate reality or whatever. Like, you know, this is Jill Valentine, but she's just from a different, you know, version of this thing where everything's kind of a bit different and it's not supposed to be like representative to the games, because they just, they do this thing. They introduce Jill and they kind of do the, because every character in this is either like, hey, whoa, I'm cracking jokes left and right. I don't know what I'm doing. Yo. Or they're like super action serious, like whoom, quick head turn, bang, shoot this thing over there, and then say, it's lunchtime. And then they'll walk off with an explosion or something. You know what I mean? They have, like, two characters, basically.
I remember, it's because isn't one of them a civilian?
Yeah, there's, well, there's some random-ass guy, I think it's Mike Epps's character, and he's literally just some dude with a hat who he's kind of like,
yeah, it's
eccentric. He's a hat. He's got a hat, and he's got two gold desert eagles.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever uses them. I don't think he ever uses them in the film. And honestly, I don't remember what happens to him because I don't think he makes it out. Somebody does, and I don't remember if it's him or not, because the guy that you see later on, I don't think it is him. Because he seems too, like, of a serious, kind of sensible character.
See, I don't know if I'm... I mean, it's fucking ages since we've watched these. I seem to remember that he turns up in another film. And you're like, oh my god. But I could be just,
That up. That's why I was unsure about it. Because I think that you're right. I think he does. Because I'm pretty sure that the ones that we see at the end of the film are... Sergeant Peyton Wells, played by Razak Adoti.
Adoti. Nice.
Jill Valentine's character, Sienna Gilroy, playing Jill Valentine. So you start off, and your introduction to Jill, again, in this kind of like, she's a badass female, because she just walks into this police station. She's wearing, like, kind of the it's kind of close to what her outfit is in Resident Evil 3. So you're like, okay, so this is Jill. And she's wearing a terrible wig. And she, like, struts in there, and the police station is in chaos. Which is so weird, because, like, there's loads of civilians in there, and then there's a bunch of policemen in there. But people are just kind of like, there's zombies in there with them, but the police are struggling to handle it for some reason, even though there's not that many of them. But people are just kind of being like, ah, oh, ooh, and the zombies are kind of mingling in with them. But it just doesn't seem like they're all being, they're like fucking screaming for their lives, and the police officers are trying to take out these zombies. It just feels a bit weird. Like they're all just kind of hanging out there a bit, waiting for Jill to come in. Because Jill comes in and immediately just like, bang, 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 shoots all the zombies in the head. And I was like, you just walked into a police precinct and started shooting people. and the police. But I think at this point, in the beginning of this film, because some time has passed, I don't exactly know what happened between the two films in terms of the facility. and whether they, because it doesn't look like they contained the outbreak. They just, which I think is the whole thing where they're saying there's been an incident, and that was kind of the whole outbreak stuff initially from the first film. Doesn't seem like they really contain it, because at this point where we're seeing Jill and the police station and stuff, it's like the city's already kind of falling to bits and everyone's trying to escape. So we're already at that point where there's zombies everywhere and stuff. But it's, I don't know, it's kind of weird. They give a weird impression in this, because like, she just, there aren't zombies around, and she walks into the police station, she shoots the zombies that are there, but then I guess the rest of the city is in a bit of turmoil? I don't exactly know. So, but there's just this bit where, like, she comes in, you've got the fucking fedora guy with his guns, and he's like, hey, can somebody help me? Oh, this zombie's handcuffed to me, to the chair. Oh, no, I'm gonna die. And then she turns around, she shoots the zombie in the head, and he's like, hey, thanks, lady. And she points the gun at him, and he's like, oh, no, I'm not infected. And then she shoots the handcuff off of his wrist so that he's not handcuffed anymore. And I was like, why? They're in a police precinct. You have keys. Like, these officers have keys. There's 5,000 keys in this fucking precinct. Why did you just shoot the handcuffs? Like, it seemed like such an unnecessary thing. The policeman next to her is like, I mean, I had that. I could have just. We needed to kill the zombie, sure, but I can get to the handcuffs now. You didn't need to do that. It's kind of a waste, but all right. And they're like, Jill, thank God you're finally here. Oh, we've got some issues, and there's zombies everywhere, and whatever, and blah blah blah. And it turns out that, and this is why I'm confused about the timeline, because you then very quickly move to, it's kind of as if the whole city is being quarantined, and this is why they need to find a way out of the city, because loads of people are piling up all at this huge, massive gate, like, you know, big kind of huge metal doors that are open, and it's a big checkpoint, big umbrella checkpoint, and, you know, it's this massive wall that towers up, like, above everyone, and you've got, like, the one of the heads of Umbrella or something, like somebody up high who's at the top and he's kind of surveying the situation. So they must have like a huge wall that goes around the entirety of the city or something. Cause otherwise people would just leave the city. Cause you have like the Arklay Mountains which is next to the city, I think. But I don't think the city itself is enclosed in a valley. I mean, maybe it is, but you don't have any of that context. It's just like you see this one checkpoint and everybody is getting crowded trying to get through, and then somebody has a heart attack and becomes a zombie or something, and then and then he's like, the infection is, it's reached the gate, close the gates, and then everyone's like, no, and then they're like, everyone go back into your homes or will open fire, and you're like, huh? And then they're just like, you've got 5 seconds, and then everybody starts, like, you see people like, oh, and they start moving backwards and moving away, and he's still counting down, and then he gets to the end of his countdown, and he's like, open fire, and they start shooting. Just yeah. You don't see people being shot, but you see the shot of them shooting, which implies they're shooting into the crowd, and I was like, they were leaving, they're doing what you asked them to. He was like, move, or I'll start shooting.
It's a very accurate depiction of a riot, a peaceful riot.
yeah. Peaceful dispersion of a riot. I can't remember at what point you see it, but there's a newspaper that either somebody looks at or it's like focused on for a moment or whatever. And it's the headline is just "The Dead Walk" with an exclamation mark. And I just found that so funny because it's like, what is the, like, at what stage of the city falling apart was this published? Like, were the dead already in, like, droves? Like, for it to be the dead walking, or the dead are walking, you'd have to have a large amount of, like, an outbreak happening. So then they were like, get this on the press, Johnny! Yeah, I want it on the front page news, the dead walk! you're like, where are we publishing this? Everyone outside is, we're locked in this building because there's a zombie outbreak outside and we'll die if we go out there. And he's like, we're gonna make so much money. This is the best story we've had in years.
We'll be the only ones to publish.
oh man. But yeah, so you're introduced to a couple other characters from the Resident Evil games, again, specifically from Resident Evil 3. So you've got Carlos, and you've got Nikolai. And in the games, Nikolai is one of the other, they're kind of this elite team that's brought in, and it's different because I think they're, no, I think they are the same in the movie. They're basically, they're brought in by Umbrella. They're like an Umbrella task force.
Right.
And they're kind of the idea, I think, like in the games and stuff, like Carlos thinks that they're there to rescue people and evac and all this kind of stuff, but really they're being sent in, like Nikolai is actually there to recover certain information and things like that and get the hell out of there and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think Nikolai's like that in this film. I think he's just like, I don't remember what happens to him. He dies at some point, but I don't remember why or what that was about. But I mean, you're introduced to Carlos by him seeing this one woman being chased by some zombies on a roof, and they're in a helicopter flying over, and he's like, "I'm gonna save her." And Nikolai's like, "What are you fucking talking about? Don't be an idiot." And he's like, "I'm gonna do it." And he's got a cable attached to his back, and he jumps out of the helicopter, and it's like this poor, this really badly, like he's falling down. He's like falling through the sky with his cable on his back, and he's got two guns out and he's shooting the zombies as he's falling, and it just looks so fucking dumb.
I fucking love that shit, man. I feel kind of sad because I feel like I've missed out on, like, when we, I remember watching the series and like the proper juice is like, it just progressively gets dumber and dumber. Like,
yeah, it does as it goes along.
Yeah. I like the first one's dumb, but it just like they, I feel like they give up. Like by the third one, they've given up. They just fucking whatever.
Well, they really do. Like, they don't bother looking at two scenes or looking at kind of two like story beats and thinking, how do we logically connect these two things? How do we make it so that Alice, who has woken up in this facility in this movie, at some point we come back to her, she right. wakes up in the facility and she's like, "Oh, what's going on? Oh, I'm struggling to remember everything that happened," which is one of the two memory things that she has in this film. And she's remembering flashes of her friend that the police guy who then got infected and they took him away. Yeah. And again, Nemesis, that's the big bad from Resident Evil 3, is literally the namesake of the film, of the game. All this kind of stuff. So he's taken away from the Nemesis program. She's kind of vaguely remembering like him being taken away, but she can't remember everything. She doesn't know what's happened to her. She's just in like a fucking gown, like going through the streets. She finds a shotgun. I don't remember how she finds it. She just finds this shotgun, like, lying on someone or something, and she picks it up and goes chick, chick, and then starts walking down the street. And I don't remember seeing, I think we see her find a bunch of, like, it was obviously like a supply point for military stuff, so it's got loads of weapons, it's got some gear like armor and stuff, some masks and things like gas masks, and I'm pretty sure that's the last that we see of her until, because you're kind of following Jill and who are they? It's this random guy they meet in a church. You've got this reporter lady that's with Jill who's like, "I've got to film the whole thing. It's going to, if we make it out alive, it's going to be the best story. My dad walk." and all this kind of shit. So, yeah. So you've got this little group and they're in the church and it's kind of like, okay, we're safe in here for now, except... Oh, no, they do have the sergeant guy with them as well, Sergeant Wells, I think. Except suddenly there are like three Lickers in the church and they're trying to like, the Lickers are jumping from the shadow to shadows and they're like, "Ooh," they're trying to pew, pew, trying to shoot them, but they're too quick. Oh, no. And then one of them leaps and they just manage to avoid it and pew, pew, but he's disappeared again. And the fucking guy that was in the church initially is already dead. And it's kind of like, oh God, what's going on? And this is the first instance of them doing what I fucking hate that they do in these films, because it's one thing to be like, oh, the characters in this that are the namesakes of the characters in the other films, like Jill, you know, they're different in these films. They're not the same person, but, you know, they're still doing what they're doing, and they're kind of, we're still keeping it similar to what their character is, whatever. In this, they're just like, no, Alice is the best out of anyone ever. Full stop. She's got infinity points, and she's got an everything proof shield, because they're just like, you have it where like they're clearly, you've got three lickers, they're gearing up to jump on Jill and the other people, and it, all is lost. Jill is looking helpless, like, oh no, I'm gonna be eaten. And then suddenly fucking Alice drives a motorbike through the church window. and I'm like, and this is what I'm talking about with this idea of this dramatic irony of like, is she there? Why did she go there? Because I don't think at this point the guy, the like scientist guy in the wheelchair who's stolen a computer after he got airlifted elsewhere, and he's like saying, you know, get my daughter out of the city. Yeah, I don't think that he's spoken to her at this point and told her where to go and what to do and everything. He might have, and I might have missed it. But either way, she just drives a fucking motorbike through the church window. And then immediately she's got like shotguns and shit. And then she's just walking up to these lickers and she's like, blam, ooh, blam, ooh, ooh, you can't touch me. Oh, yeah, blam. And I'm like, come on. And then you literally have Jill, like at one point a little bit later, she's like, how did you do all that? I mean, I'm good, but I'm not that good. And I was like, fuck off. Like, you can't make a character. And look, I love it. From the perspective of being like, this is terrible and everything, like, your reaction of her coming through the fucking window, I feel that, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm so mad that I'm just like, you can't make a character cool or, like, give them a frame of reference to how strong they are and stuff by taking the pre-existing, like, staple franchise characters and having them say, oh, wow, I'm nowhere as near as cool as you are. You're just something else. You're a level above me.
It's,
you know,
literally
what I mean?
The underworld thing. Do you remember? Yeah. Like, when we watched
those, and it's
the Hitman, and it was
fucking
like,
47 thing.
Yeah, the Hitman as well. And it's like, I'm the staple of the franchise, but you're better than me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good. There's a second, like, layer to this, because it's all flooding back to me. I remember listening to you rant about this very thing, and I'm like, yes.
But it is, because it's like Nemesis in this movie. He pops up a couple times, and they kind of, the whole point in the games is that they sent Nemesis in to eliminate the STARS unit, and like, to eliminate any witnesses of people who knew that this whole outbreak and everything is all to do with
Umbrella,
right? So he's supposed to go in there, eliminate STARS, and it's kind of a good test run to see how their bioweapon works and all this kind of thing. I can't remember if there's anything more to it, but that's kind of the gist of it. And so that's why he's relentlessly hunting you, Jill, in the game down. And he's always like, STARS! Because he's like chasing you down. And that's the kind of fear that comes from it. Like, Nemesis is like this unstoppable force. He's just always coming after you. And you don't feel like, in most circumstances, that you can fully escape him. But in this, he just kind of pops up a couple times. And then their excuse for the STARS thing is like, he just, because they've got like some, you've got the people who are outside of the quarantine zone, the Umbrella guys, who can like see what he's seeing through like some fucking Wi-Fi link.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're like, oh, target acquired. Like, or look at, you know, these civilians. And they're like, let's take him for a test ride. And I'm like, why? You're just about to shoot up a police precinct just to test him out? Like, I don't understand. Like, why? why is he here? Why does it, like, none of that is kind of explained. So they're like, oh, you know, let's test him out. And then one of them says, because he's like, who are they? And you see this group of people like, everyone, formation, you know, attack formation Delta or whatever. And they're like, who are they? And he says, oh, that's the STARS unit. They are like the super special operative, like, these guys are the goddamn best, are the best or whatever. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, well, let's see how, all right, let's change the priority target to STARS members. And he's got to fight them. And then Nemesis just miniguns the entire building. But you've got the fucking, like, dual gold pistol guy in the building, right? At, like, standing, looking out of the glass at Nemesis. And they do this weird thing where Nemesis, like, has the you see the minigun literally, like, and he's just spraying the entire building, breaking all the glass, killing everybody inside. But the guy is, the whole time, he's stood there, kind of covering, like, kind of in a flinched kind of position, like, as he's shooting, like, and then Nemesis stops shooting, and everybody's dead apart from that guy, and he just hasn't been hit by anything. And then Nemesis looks at him and it's like, threat level low. And then he drops his guns and is like, threat level none. And then the guy's like, gotta respect that. And then Nemesis walks off or something. And I'm like, huh? Like, it's so dumb. And then you kind of have this thing where, like, they've got to go and find the girl. Nemesis shows up at one point and then Alice is like, I'll deal with him. You go. Which, again, you're just like, the whole... What makes the Resident Evil 3 game so good is that you have this thing with Nemesis and Jill. Like, he is just relentlessly after her. She's the last member of STARS in the city. And he's focused on her. But Alice is like, no, I'll deal with him. Don't worry. You go. I'll do it. And you have some, like, bullshit fights where I'm like, she'd be dead. Like, she's running towards this garbage chute in this building. And as she's running with her arms outstretched with two machine guns, and she shoots the wall underneath the garbage chute to shoot a hole in the wall so that she can go and slide underneath and at the time as he starts shooting at her and whatever. You got dumb shit like that where I'm just like, fuck me, that's so stupid. like that real, it's a real specific kind of style of, like, terrible action, dumb stuff, but that is really entertaining, and obviously that's why these films did so well. But you're watching it and you're like, this is a crock of shit. What the actual fight,
man? There's just not that much in the first one. The first one's very contained as well, like, compared to the others. Apart from, I'm sure there's one on a boat, on a big boat, which feels like the first one. But I just remember that, like, apart from... The first one's very contained. And it's very claustrophobic, almost.
Yeah.
Because it's like... it just... Yeah, you're just in this one facility, and they've clearly used, like, the same
They had a
location.
Smaller budget.
Yeah, they've used the same location for... Like, literally, they go... when they... when they first go in the first train station, it's in this, like, big grey concrete room, which is so obviously like a car park. And then they go, they get on the train and, like, travel to, like, a different place. But it's so obvious that they've just moved some boxes around and it's the same car park. There's just so many of that. But apart from that, I just remember there's all of these other ones are, like, just fucking wild.
They're like get going more about, and more wild.
Yeah, yeah, they're going about the city. There's, like, isn't one set in a desert or something? Is that this one?
Oh, no, it's like the last one or the second to last one is kind of in, like, a... They go crazy because they end one of the films where they're like, oh, this is the last stand of all humanity in this small compound against armies and armies of fucking infected. Oh, they're all gonna die. And then the next one, Alice wakes up and gets out of some rubble, and it's like, what happened? Dunno. You know what I mean? You're like, where was the fucking fight you built up in the last one against the fucking hordes of the undead? And they were just like, dunno, I guess it happened. Something. They're gone now, so I don't know. We'll just do something else.
Can't wait to talk about the
it's so, oh, it's so... But, like, that thing I said about the dramatic irony thing where the characters know stuff. Like, there's a bit... When Nemesis shows up to the group for the first time and he's, like, down a dark alleyway and for some reason Alice just stops and they're like, what? And she's like, there's something down there. But they're not on a bridge. So she's looking down off a bridge down an alleyway and they're like... And then the fucking sergeant guy's like, man, I don't have time for this shit. And he does the... thing they do in films where they pull the slide back on a fucking gun and I'm like, you're just ejecting the
chamber.
Yeah, you just emptied the fucking chamber. You ejected the bullet that was in there already. Were you not already loaded? It's so dumb. So he goes to do that and she's like, no, wait. And then he gets fucking riddled with bullets. Yeah, how did he... Maybe it wasn't him who survived, because he did die because he got riddled with fucking bullets. Because Nemesis goes with his thing and walks out that alleyway. Thing is, Alice has never seen him, has no idea what he is. And she looks at him and she goes, Nemesis. And I'm like, because she remembered them saying the Nemesis program before.
Yeah, I was like,
why would you ever make that connection? You have zero reason to ever make that connection and just go, that must be the Nemesis program and they've put my friend in it and now he's this monster that's shooting a minigun that's just appeared and I've never seen before. I'm like, bro, come on. Stuff like that always gets me. And I'm like, shut up. You fucking shitheads. Anyway, Nemesis in this is just really shit. He's not this like scary force that you always only just manage to escape from and all this kind of thing. Like, she literally has a fist fight with him at the end of the film. Like, you have a bunch of stuff.
The guy with the miniguns.
They're trying to get the... Yeah. So they go and get the girl, they rescue the girl, and then a bunch of other stuff happens. They go here, they go there. It's kind of a bit of a... They have a bit of a lull in the middle where it's a bit boring. And I don't remember what happens. And then they get to the point where they're going to get on the helicopter and the asshole bad guy is there and he's like, don't you see, Alice, you know, you were the perfect genetic creation that we did because we experimented on you after the events of the first film. And she's like, she's trying to remember like what happened and they're injecting her with stuff and whatever. And because in this, she kind of is, like, super ridiculously... She's, like, super strong, and she's reflexes that are ridiculous and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she beats up a bunch of guards, but, like, kills a bunch of guards earlier. Which, by the way, all the guards are just guys with fucking motorcycle helmets. I don't know why. Like, their uniform is a motorcycle helmet and then security guard, quote-unquote, like... clothes.
Because the costume department were like, just fucking use a helmet. I can't be asked to dress this.
Yeah, fuck this. But then, yeah, so then Nemesis is there, and the guy is like, you're basically brother and sister or something. And he was like, we experimented on you both. But you're the genetically superior one. He's strong and stuff, but you're better. By the way,
and she's like, why though?
Because, yeah,
here, just because they're like, don't worry about it, you are,
yeah,
you just are.
But she ends up having to, because before he tells her this, he's basically like, Nemesis, I choose you. And then Nemesis like chucks the minigun down and they literally have a fucking fist fight. And Nemesis looks so goofy in this. He doesn't look like this grotesque,
I'm looking up pictures,
horrific.
He just looks so crap.
Yeah, it's like this crap fucking, like...
It's a man, like, in a rubber mask.
Yeah, like this fucking... If he was a Star Wars alien in the original trilogy, he wouldn't look out of place.
No,
you know what I mean?
So
but in
bad.
This film, he just is... He's not intimidating at all. And he's just got, like, a normal human eye, because that's supposed to be, the, like, all that's left of the original guy that's there. And
oh,
so they
fight. I remember
right?
that.
So then they're, like, fighting, and then he's, like, swinging over the metal thing or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And then I think she, like... like, pushes him, and he falls backwards onto this metal spike that goes through him. And then she's, like... kind of has this thing where she just starts, like, not like actually punching him, but you know that kind of thing where someone's like crying and they're upset and they just go like, they're like hitting them, like, and then she's like getting all these flashes of memories, and then she realizes it. Kind of every time we've seen her on the table, it's then you realize that what she was looking at the whole time was him on the other table next to her, and they're experimenting on him as well. And then she's like, Matt. And then he's like, quick, like close up on his human eye, looking at her and stuff. And he's like, and then that's when the guy's like, "You're genetically superior. You're better. Fuck this guy. You should come with me. He doesn't matter." And then she's like, "No." And he's like, "Well, that's a shame. You really were the perfect genetic thing, or whatever." And then, there's a bit where I think it's beforehand where. Because they've got, like, when she's fighting Nemesis and all this kind of stuff, they have, like, Jill, the other survivors, like the girl, the dad who helped them in the first place, the scientist guy. They've got them all, like, on their knees in this thing. And, of course, Alice is the only one who's not. And I think he says to her, like, "You got to come with me or, you know, we're going to kill your friends." And then she's like, "What makes you think I care about them?" And he's like, "All right." And he turns around and shoots the scientist guy, like, in the shoulder or something. And she's like, "Ah!" And I'm like, why would you call this guy's bluff and be like, "What do you think I care about them?" He's like, "Okay, I'll shoot one then." And then she's like, "What have I done?" I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, fucking hell, dude. Oh, and yeah, so they basically kind of, like, he's like, "Everyone, kill her. We're leaving. Come on, Nemesis. I guess you'll do." And Nemesis pulls himself off of the metal thing, but then he, I think he picks up his minigun again or something. Yeah, he picks up his minigun because he's, like, facing her, and she's got two guards on either side, and he's like, "Nemesis, kill her." And then Nemesis winds up the minigun, but then he shoots the two guards either side of her, and then all hell breaks loose and everyone's fighting and shooting everybody else and blah, 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 whatever. And these guys all get in the helicopter and escape. And you have this scene. There's a couple... Thing is, you have good stuff where this bad guy who's been a dick the whole time, he, I think, falls out of the helicopter or something. And he's lying on the ground and all of these zombies, hordes of them, are closing in on him. And he's like... "Oh," and he puts the gun that he's got, because he shoots a couple of them, and then he puts the gun to his head instead, and he pulls the trigger, but it just clicks, and he's like, "Oh no!" And then they all, like, converge in on him, but it's the scientist guy that he shot. Oh no, he did kill him, because the scientist guy is a zombie then, and he crawls up to him and starts biting his neck, and he's like, "Ah!" And he gets eaten by everyone, and you're like,
fuck you.
But, you know, they have a couple good moments like that, where... I knew it was coming. You know it's coming, but it's that thing where he goes to shoot himself and it clicks and he's like, "Oh no." And you're like, yeah.
They kind of do that in the first one where they go, like, the guy's like, "I've only got one bullet left." And he, like, puts it to the, to his mouth, and it cuts to Alice's face, and she's, like, really upset. And then she walks away because she can't dare to see this man that she met 10 minutes ago to himself. And then, like, later on it cuts to him, or a couple of minutes later it cuts back to him, and he's, like, pointing at, like, these horde of zombies, and he shot one of them in the head, like, using his last bullet, and he's like, "You're gonna have to work for your meal." And then he turns up at the end or something, I can't remember. But it's like, I wonder if that's like a thing, if in the third one someone puts the gun to their head and then, like,
we've got to keep an eye on it. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like you think the film is going to end there, but then they all get in the helicopter, they fly away. Then the helicopter crashes for some reason. I don't remember why. You don't know where anyone else is. You just find, like, the other guy, the one played by Ian Glenn, Dr. Isaacs, he was one of the people that was originally experimenting on her, but we don't see him throughout the film. And he shows up then with his little task force guys, and he pulls her from the wreckage of the fucking helicopter, and her face is all burnt off on one side and all this kind of stuff, and she's literally open-eyed, glassy-eyed stare. She's dead. And he's like, get her in the fucking van. We're going to go. And they have her in another facility in this, like, fucking Bacta tank. And then you have this whole thing where, like... Ooh, pardon me. He picks her up, and then you see this kind of TV news footage thing where it's like... live footage from... Not live, but, like... We've received real footage from inside Raccoon City where this whole thing's going on and the Umbrella Corporation are behind it. And you're like, oh, they got the footage out from that camera fucking reporter lady. And they're like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then it cuts to like, it cuts between a bunch of different news things talking about that. And then suddenly it's like, Umbrella Corporation have reported that this was all fake and that the videos were faked. And it was all a big hoax, and actually there was a nuclear power plant explosion, and you're like, huh? How?
But there's, how?
You saw the footage. How could they have possibly faked that? Yes, I could. You could believe that we're in a sort of version of the early 2000s or the end of the 90s where, you know, they've gotten to a point with genetic engineering that they've made virus. Fucking zombie viruses and this kind of thing, but there ain't no fucking way that their CG is good enough to protect to even think that it could be a hoax. Like, it's so dumb. They're just
they've got all this evidence to say that it wasn't a hoax, but then this corporation like, nah, it was a nuclear explosion. And then everyone's like, oh, all right, well, where was the explosion that...
No. So the explosion was because that was the reason they had to leave the city when they did, because...
Oh, because they nuked
it. The same as the end of the third one is it was like, oh, they're doing a tactical nuclear strike on the city to wipe out all evidence and stuff. So that's why they were like, you know, that's then what kind of came into play with that. But... Exactly. They have all of this stuff and they're like, the Umbrella Corporation is evil and it's to blame. And then the corporation comes out and is like, no, guys, we're not evil. It was a hoax. Yeah, it was just a prank, bro.
They're just like, nah. And then everyone's like, oh, okay then. just fucking dumb.
So you see this kind of like stuff, and then it cuts to inside a lab. You got this big tank and... Alice is like floating nude in this tank. And what's his face? Dr. Isaacs is like, drain the tank. And then she's kind of waking up as this is all happening. And they get her out of the tank and give her a towel. And she's kind of like stood there, like looking around. And then he's like, do you remember your, oh no, the first thing he does is he like, shows her his clipboard and his pen, and he's like, this is a pen. And he's like, you can write things with it. Do you want, like, pen, here you go. Do you want to try? And then she's like, gets the pen and puts it on the fucking thing and just, like, does this big scribbly mark on it. And he's like, yes, good, yes. I want to run all these tests. Do you remember your name? And all this kind of stuff. But he's being, like, really creepily, like, intimate. Like, he's holding her face and brushing her hair out, whatever. And he's like, do you remember your name? And she's like, my. And that's the whole thing that she's, like, you know, doesn't know where she is. She doesn't have any memories and all this kind of stuff again. and then he's like, I think that, like, he asks her, do you remember your name? And then he walks away and he's like, right, everyone, I want blood screeners, I want this thing, I want to monitor brain activity, I want to monitor this, that, and the other. And then you've got this woman on the fucking console looking at a 3D rotating picture of a brain, and she's like, I think it was when the thing was draining, she was like, her physical and mental abilities are off the charts, sir. And then, you know what I mean? And then while he's walking away, she's like, my name. And then it's like, and loads of images of all the stuff that happened in the first film. My name. All the stuff in the second film. This is happening. Oh, she's killing some people. And then she's like, man. And then she just goes like, fucking immediately stops being like, and twitchy and all this kind of stuff. And she just goes like, stone cold badass, and she's like, my name. And he turns around, she's like, is Alice. And then she starts fucking killing everybody in the room.
I remember this.
Yeah,
I remember this. Because I think the third one starts like that as well. She's like running around in a towel.
No, so this is the thing. She starts killing everyone in the room and then escapes out of the facility. And there's a security guard, or escapes out of the sort of labs bit there. And when she's going through the main part of the building, she's on the security cameras. And this guy sat at the cameras is looking at it. And he sees her and he picks up the thing and he starts saying, like, oh, we've got a code something. And he says something stupid. Like, I remember thinking that the line he said was really dumb. It's like the most generic, like, all stations, we need every available person now. Something like that, you know what I mean? But then she looks at the CCTV. This is the worst bit. She looks at the camera, the CCTV camera, and, like, stares at it. And he's looking at her, and he suddenly puts his hand to his face and feels his nose. And his nose is bleeding. And he's like, and then he starts bleeding out of his nose and bleeding out of his eyes and his mouth. And he goes, and he collapses. And then she does a little smirk to the camera and then carries on walking. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Where has this come from? She just has mental powers now. But also, how does that work? She looked at the camera and was like, if anybody is watching this right now, it's not a television. It's not a fucking... It's not like a two-way television. It's not like a telephone where she can fucking... She knows who's on the other end. Like, how does she know that guy wherever he is? And he's not the other end of the fucking security camera itself. How did that work? But she just does that and walks off. And there's no kind of... The only setting up that they have of this ability is the fact that she's like, her mental powers are off the fucking scale. You know what I mean? Oh, fuck me. I remember watching that the first time and being like, fuck off. Actually.
I remember. And I double remember because, like, look, spoilers, we're going to do all these films because we love them. But I feel it might be this one because I think that number three is where they were like, nah, don't worry about that. It doesn't matter. They're like, actually,
I'm not sure.
No.
I think...
There's definitely one of the films where she's got, like, some fucking... It might be four, actually. But she's got some crazy fucking mind powers. And then the next film, they're like, actually, no, we've changed our mind.
No, do you know what? I think it is at the beginning of the next one. Because I think that they establish she's got all these crazy mind powers. And it's the beginning of the next one where this guy is escaping. And then he, like, injects her with something that removes her powers. And she's like, oh, I have no powers. And then she falls from a fucking plane and dies. Or doesn't die, sorry.
I can't
remember. It might be partway through the film. I'm not sure. And then it's in the, like, following film after that happens where they decide to re-retcon it. And they're like, no, you do have the powers. What he injected you with wasn't an inhibitor. He just made you think that you didn't have your powers anymore. I was like, that's worse. That's actually worse.
You change your mind and then you change your mind again. Amazing.
Fuck me. Yeah. So, yeah, it's that's pretty much it. I mean, she gets picked up by Jill and the other guy who's still alive. I can't remember which character it is. Gets picked up by them and then they're driving her out and they do the thing again where that guy, Dr. Isaacs, who's lying in a bunch of glass because he's been thrown to one side and he's like, ugh, and he gets up and then he takes out his walkie-talkie and Jill and that are heading to the security gate at the time because they're trying to, like, leave and they're sort of pretending that they're Umbrella or something. It was like they just show up and they're like, level 6 clearance, we've got to take her. And then the security guys go, sorry, okay. And I was like, all right. And as they're driving off, when they get to the checkpoint, he just takes out his walkie from where he is. He has no context as to what's happening, but we do. He doesn't. He just takes out his walkie and he goes, let them go. And then the fucking checkpoint opens and lets them go. And I was like, who's he talking to? Also, how does he know that them, it's a them? You know what I mean? He doesn't know that they picked her up. When did any of this happen? What? So stupid. They just have the knowledge that the audience has, and it's, oh man,
so good.
And then it just ends. She just looks out. She looks out the window, and you think she's looking at something, but she's just looking at the camera. And then the window rolls up. Oh no, no! The very end is them being like, "Huh, we sure boy did escape that one. Isn't that crazy, Jill?" And then fucking Dr. Isaacs goes, "Activate the Jill program or something." And then her iris like flashes the umbrella colors. Which is
oh my god,
dumb.
I remember that. I remember
so I think
that.
The next one is where she has like some evil stuff or something. I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
Oh,
good
Jesus.
Stuff. Bad film, good.
Yeah. But thing is, again, bad film, good because it's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. But yeah, just quickly, I had on the way home from a long day's work, I had a fucking real life dumb shit where, it's just a quick one. I saw it's like the epitome of, you know, a middle aged man going, "Oh, bloody young, use these days, you're bloody terrible." It was like the epitome of what they think young people are, because I saw a young boy with a side fade on an electric scooter throw a can of drink into a bush. Not like just discreetly. He just like fucking lobbed it into a bush. And brilliant. The drink wasn't even fucking empty. And
that's the worst bit.
And it was a Diet Coke. The worst version of Coke. It's just like, I couldn't believe what I saw. But yeah, that's about everything. Next week we are going to do Rugrats Go Wild, baby.
Oh yeah, baby. We kind of segued into that kind of nicely, I think. We made a Wild Thornberrys
joke
earlier.
We did that. Yeah, we could.
Wait, is Goes Wild the Thornberrys one? Or
yeah,
is that the...
It's the crossover. Okay. If you want to keep up to date, we're on X, we're on
take that out of your
MySpace.
Mouth. Take that out of your mouth. Not on any of those platforms, and we're not calling it X. Fuck. It looks like a porn website.
We talked about this already. It's fucking
I've taken it off
so
my phone.
Stupid.
It just looks like a fucking porn app. Anyway.
Oh, it's so dumb. Instagram and TikTok.
Yes.
And Threads.
Threads fully died as well, so.
All Threads did.
Apparently.
Dropped off.
Nobody was bothered.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Glad that I never made an account so that I don't have to delete my Instagram account to get rid of it.
Annoyed that I fucking did because because Mark Zuckerberg tricked me into getting fake Twitter.
Yep.
Just unbelievable. If you want to help out the show, give us a 5-star review. Give us 5 Resident Evil Eyes Umbrella.
Give us 5 massacred original characters out of 5. Every one of these characters is... Do you know, the closest character to being who they were in the games is maybe Carlos, just because Carlos is... Oh, that's the other guy who survives. It's Jill and it's Carlos, I think. Because it's Carlos is just kind of like... He's a bit of a cheeky lad, and he kind of has a bit of this, but that's the closest that you could really ask for with this kind of film.
Oh, good stuff. But as always, we'll leave you with AI Wars, baby. And I did
it
right this time.
You did it right. I love how quiet the ukulele is in proportion to the rest of everything
else. I know.
I don't know if it's like, it's probably louder on the recording. But
no, it's
for
not.
Me
it's
through
not.
Discord, it's just
it's really not. It's because it's not the ukulele, it's my guitar, which is on a stand far away from me, so I have to lean over and strum it. But yeah, AI Wars, can't be asked to explain, Inspirebot 13, Image Flip 11.
Yeah.
You go first.
Alright, so I've got like it looks like a singer on a stage, but you can't see anything else apart from the singer. You've got this hazy smoke effect in the background. You know, it's definitely like mid gig. they're wearing a lot of like loose kind of baggy stuff. He's got the ripped jeans. He's got the hoodie that's kind of half fallen off the shoulder with a tank top. Got like big chain, mic in hand, up to face, wearing some sort of like weird kind of, it's almost like a balaclava, but if it was like a disco ball, because it's like all ridged and it looks metal and it looks like some sort of weird singer thing. Like they're just like, it's, you know, part of their persona or something.
Right.
But the reason I've chosen this is because I immediately looked at this and thought Kanye, because the quote on the front says, as if he's holding this mic to his face to shout this to the crowd, "Prime numbers are not real." And it's now, such a Kanye thing to
that's
say.
No, that's not Kanye. That's Terrence Howard.
Yeah, true. This is MC Terrence Howard.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Mine is the Batman slapping Robin in the face meme.
Ooh, nice.
And it's I can't remember which way. Oh my god, that does look like Kanye though, doesn't it?
It does, right?
Actually, no, I think that is Kanye. Doesn't he wear...
Do you reckon?
That's Kanye. I think that is actually Kanye.
Because that was my initial thought, right? Because what would you call that, like, headpiece thing? Because if I put face mask, it's not going to come up with it. It's going to come up with a, like, metal balaclava. Oh, yeah. Wait, that comes up on here. Is that... Yeah, it is him.
It is him.
I think it is him.
Yeah. Because I recognize from when
it's like a studded mask thing.
Yeah. I recognized that from when he performed somewhere. I don't know why I know that, but I knew.
That. Yeah, I must have seen it once somewhere because I looked at it and I was like, "It's very Kanye."
So it's the Batman slapping Robin meme, and Batman slaps Robin, and he's going, "I will be a good boy and go..." Sorry. Let me restart that because I'll do the fucking voice. "I will be a good boy and go to sleep." And then Robin just goes, "Fuck me!" There you go.
See, I'm glad that you performed it in the way that you did.
Yeah.
Because I would read it differently. Because of Robin's being first. That sounds like he's requesting.
Yeah. I think it's meant to be the Robin one first. And like Batman's interrupting him or something. But
it is, yeah.
I prefer it this way.
I think for the delivery of that, yeah. I could agree that you can have it this week.
Yes.
Because it sounds like he's just slapping him out of nowhere and he's like, "Fuck me.
Fuck me.
Oh, God, why are you slapping me?"
Yeah. And Batman's like, "I'm a good boy." All right. Thanks for listening. And
yeah, it's a good long one today.
Yeah. Fuck me.
Aiden, be a good boy and go to sleep.
Fuck me.
I say, the dead walk. Fuck me.
Fuck me, the dead walk.
It's going to be the goddamn best headline we've ever had. Print it. Throw it out the windows.
Fuck me. Women get the vote. I'm to the dead walk.
Oh, no. That's a very different age for Raccoon City.
It's Raccoon City in the 50s.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, yeah. Bye.
Bye.